So first, I want to start today by reading a letter that Father Ken has sent to us on behalf of the Antiochian Archdiocese. So, dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, on behalf of His Eminence, Metropolitan Joseph, and His Grace, Bishop John, I send you greetings. Firstly, I want to commend you all on your decision to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and return to the unity of Christ's one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And in St. Paul's words, there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. It is this oneness and unity of faith and worship that God has called us all to live out as Christians, not separated as individuals, but as one church. Your desire to establish and plant a Western Rite Orthodox parish community there in Atlanta, I believe, is a God-ordained vision, and we, here in the Department of Missions and Evangelism, are committed to assisting you in seeing this vision to fruition. As you've come to realize, doing the work of the Kingdom of God is not without its spiritual hazards. The enemy of our souls and the great father of lies, Satan, is very interested in thwarting your desire to fulfill God's plan. Never, ever forget that we are in a very real spiritual battle for the souls of mankind in the advancement of His kingdom here on earth. Jesus left the church in the world to continue to do everything that He did while He was here, and you have all chosen a noble endeavor. Secondly, I know that Father Dale's sudden need to take a sabbatical to tend to pressing personal matters came as a great surprise. We can rarely prepare for these types of events. I understand and know how difficult this can be. Please keep Father Dale and his family in your prayers, and please respect their need for privacy at this time. Be assured that we are reaching out to Father Dale to walk with him and meet his needs. Lastly, and recognizing that change is not always easy, but remembering that God is in control, it's important to continue to move forward with the vision and work of becoming Orthodox and building a vibrant Western Rite parish community there in Atlanta. As our commitment to your vision and to provide the appropriate pastoral care to you all, I will be taking on an expanded and more hands-on role in providing guidance to your community. This will include more frequent visits and careful coordination with your leadership there and at the Advent. After prayerful consideration and discussion, it has been decided that Dr. Beau Bruce will serve you in capacity as pastor in moving the community forward towards chrismation and the establishment of this new Orthodox Christian community. Dr. Bruce will be the primary point of contact between Advent and our Archdiocese. Please pray for him, please do, and give him your full encouragement and support in this new role during this time of transition. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for your willingness to serve. In closing, I'm very excited at what God is doing in your midst. All great and lasting things are refined by trial and tribulation. It is the spiritual journey that matters. I do so looking forward to walking this journey with you, being fully committed to your vision, while recognizing your sacrifice and hard work. Please be assured of all my continued thoughts and prayers for you all. I will see you very soon. Most humbly in Christ's love, Father Ken. So today's message, purify by participation. Today on this third Sunday of Epiphany, we hear the story of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by St. John the Apostle and a theologian. One of the first questions that comes to many people's mind when they hear about the baptism of Jesus is, why did Jesus get baptized? Often this question is asked because we know from other testimony in the Bible that Jesus was sinless, and therefore not in need of St. John's baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In fact, in the descriptions of John's baptism in St. Matthew, we see St. John attempt to prevent Jesus from being baptized. In St. Matthew it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, that is John the Baptist, consented. One of the most striking aspects of this phrase, thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness, in this passage is that word, us. First, we note that Jesus does not force John somehow to baptize him, unless you believe that's some sort of Jedi mind trick that he's pulling. Second, despite Jesus' baptism being the will of God, it is not somehow predestined in the sense of predetermined. Jesus needs John's consent. Of course, that does not take away from predestination in what I believe to be its proper sense. God working with what we give him in light of his infinite knowledge and perfect foreknowledge. That is to say that God chose the time and place in the fullness of time to enter the world because he knew with certainty that all the stars were already aligned, so to speak. And just as I'm certain that God did not go shopping around for a good mother of Jesus, and instead knew that the Virgin Mary knew her so intimately, even from the foundation of the world, as he knows each and every one of us, that he knew that she would consent to the miracle of the Incarnation. Be it unto me according to your will. Likewise, he knew that John would consent to baptize him. And yet God needs our participation to bring about salvation. Not only our personal salvation, but as we see from these examples, he needs our participation to bring about the salvation of the entire world. We must purify and save our world through our participation. And who a better example than Jesus? Where we see the deepest participation by mankind in the story of salvation through the God-man, Jesus himself. As St. Paul says in his second epistle to the Corinthians, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We see that God participates so intimately in our humanity, by birth as a little helpless baby, to being baptized, to weeping at Lazarus' tomb, to a shameful death on the cross, to even being made sin. And for what? That we could become the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness. It's the second time we've heard that word today. Jesus was baptized because it was, quote, fitting for he and John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness. And he was made sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. But what is righteousness? Well, in Greek, the word righteousness is dikaiosune. That word is related to legal judgment, dike, in Greek. And often, perhaps too often, in Western thought, this is taken to its logical end when applied to dikaiosune. That somehow righteousness has something to do with being right in a legal sense before God. That at that dread judgment day, I do believe that it does. But when we view it that way on a day-to-day basis, I think we worry too much about what we should or should not be doing, rather than more broadly about who we should be. Indeed, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, dikaiosune has a broad sense meaning the state of him who is such as he ought to be. It is this condition acceptable to God as being what we ought to be that I want to focus on. So how do we become what we ought to be? Well, first we participate in the divine life by patterning our life after Jesus Christ, who being the new Adam, calls us to live according to his template. When we are in a condition acceptable to God as human beings, we are living in accordance with Jesus. And when we're living in accordance with Jesus, we are being as human as we possibly can be. As Paul says in Colossians, Jesus is the image, that is the icon, of the invisible God. And that means when we pattern our lives after Jesus, when we become the icon of Jesus, we are restoring our humanity to the image and likeness of God that we partially lost in the fall. When we join ourselves with Jesus, we are most certainly acceptable to God, because even he who has seen Jesus has seen the Father, much less he who is living in accordance with him. So to be righteous, we need to purify our humanity and that of those around us by our participation in the divine, by living up to the likeness and image of God in which we were created. God became man so that by grace we can become what he is by nature, the concept of theosis. St. Gregory of Nazianzus, whose feast we celebrate today, said in the 4th century, man has been ordered to become God. Or as St. Irenaeus said in the 2nd century, the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did, through his transcendent love, become what we are, that he might bring us to be even what he is himself. Indeed, we participate directly in the divine life by our infusion with the Holy Spirit, we all possess by baptism and chrismation, and in our participation in the Eucharist, where we commune physically and spiritually with the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our contact with the divine is a continual opportunity to transform ourselves into what we are meant to be. Second, I believe we must take on a broader view of sin. Many of us, having grown up in the West and particularly in the South for long enough, when we do anything wrong, can only immediately think that we deserve to go to hell. And we do. But when we spend time only worrying about the big stuff, we don't really see how broken we are by all the little stuff. Sometimes we can even think we're doing pretty well when we're not breaking any of the Ten Commandments. And I'm here to say that thinking is from the devil. However, sin isn't about whether we broke one of the words written on Sinai by breaking our word. Instead, it's that we broke the word, the capital W word, Jesus. We have to stop looking at what we do and start looking at who we are. Jesus was willing to become sin for us, but are we willing to become sin too? Of course, by that I don't mean are we willing to sin. We are. But rather, are we willing to truly see our contribution to the sins of the entire world? Next time you hear something terrible happening, whether it's next door or around the world, I challenge you to ask yourself, what did I do or not do in some way to contribute to that event? Are you willing to participate in what Christ did by taking on the sin of the world? And another exercise which I believe to be very valuable, although it can be tricky for some of us who believe that sin is just breaking the rules rather than breaking our humanity, but indulge me. I ask you the next time you're feeling the effects of physical or mental illness, to think about it for a moment as sin. Not sin you're guilty of, per se, but rather as sin in the sense of not fully being what you're meant to be. When you can truly see the spectrum of sin and its effects on the world, then you can ask Jesus, the great physician, for the complete healing you need, one that's not just physical or mental, but spiritual too. Ask him to restore yourself to himself. That's why he came, after all. And as Stephen Freeman says, Christ did not come into the world to make bad men good, but to make dead men live. Third, despite our need to truly look at sin for all it really is, I do not want you to get into the business of trying too hard to specifically root out evil. There's a lot of it. And when you're only focused on evil, you can quickly become overwhelmed. Furthermore, when you realize how broken you and the rest of the world is, you can become very despondent. Instead, I ask you to purify the world by primarily just simply turning away from evil, by almost giving it no thought at all, and instead fighting it by participating in beauty. Saint Porphyrios the New, a recently canonized 20th century Eastern Orthodox saint, says the following. We can attain worship of God easily and bloodlessly. There are two paths that lead to God. The hard and debilitating path, with fierce assaults against evil, and the easy path, with love. There are too many who choose the hard path and shed blood in order to receive the Spirit, until they have attained great virtue. But I find that the shorter and safer route is the path with love. This is the path you too should follow. That is, you can make a different kind of effort to study and pray and have as your aim to advance in the love of God and of his church. Do not fight to expel the darkness from the chamber of your soul. Open a tiny aperture for light to enter, and the darkness will disappear. You don't become holy by fighting evil. Let evil be. Look towards Christ, and that will save you. And finally, just as Jesus met us where we are, we must meet others where they are. Our prayers must not only be about our needs, but those of others and for the world. We're coming up very soon on Lent. It's Hard to believe. The next Sunday will be our first pre-Lenten Sunday as we start to prepare our minds for moving into that season, but it doesn't start to even start now. And so we need to be thinking about prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And we must give alms. And that doesn't just mean giving out some food or some money. It means giving out love. We have to, like Jesus, participate in everything that others are so that they can be everything they can be, so that they can be the best human they can be. And if we're staying true to our created nature, we will in some way be bringing those around us closer to who they were created to be, and thereby we'll be bringing them closer to Christ. So as we leave this place in a few minutes to be the hands and feet of Jesus, let us remember that we are also his face, his heart, and the rest of his body, the church, and that we also carry by our baptism the Holy Spirit of God to those around us. As Jesus participated in our lives, let us both participate in his and in the lives of those around us. Let us bring God to them. Then we will be tending to the garden as God intended. Focus on Jesus, and there will be no room for weeds. As Paul said in the epistle reading today, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Restore humanity not by judgments or condemnations, but by love. Not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a sacrifice, a giving up of oneself, a true participation and communion with one another, just as our Lord loved us. Amen.